It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome aboard, New Yorkers. Getting to know Kathy Hochul, the behind-the-scenes lieutenant governor, will become the governor in just 12 days.
No one will ever describe my administration as a toxic work environment.
The 62-year-old Democrat promises a better tone in Albany after the sexual harassment scandal that sparked the resignation of Andrew Cuomo. Hochul says there's no place in her administration for any Cuomo aides who were implicated in this scandal.
I want them to know that with me in charge, you better watch it.
More from correspondent James Flippin.
Hochul says it's in the state's best interest that Governor Cuomo step down in light of the allegations against him, but adds she didn't request the two-week transition period.
I'm prepared to take office, as any lieutenant governor is, from the very first hour you're sworn in as lieutenant governor. However, I will take advantage of that time.
She was asked if she'd ever pardon Cuomo should he face criminal prosecution.
It is far too premature to even have those conversations.
Hochul did say anyone accused of improper behavior in the AG's report won't be working for her administration.
Governor Cuomo leaves office with a 38% approval rating. According to a new Marist poll, 64% of New Yorkers say they've never heard of Kathy Hochul. She did say today that she will run for a full four-year term once she's finished serving Governor Cuomo's term. Well, could Andrew Cuomo be arrested? That is a big question 2 days after his resignation. Former state police investigator and current criminal justice professor Steve Meacham spoke to Family Life News earlier today.
And it could be very well likely that Governor Cuomo does actually get arrested, get charged. So that is not ended yet, just because he resigned or even is impeached. The criminal charges can still go forward.
At least five county prosecutors have opened up criminal probes that could lead to the arrest of New York's 56th governor, who will be out of a job 12 days from now. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is at the southern border today. He'll be in the Rio Grande Valley to see firsthand the scope of the immigration crisis. Julio Roas with townhall.com says the border disorder is a stain on the Biden administration.
I've been down to the border multiple times this year, and things have gotten worse. And really, they're gaslighting the American public by trying to claim that things are being overblown or, you know, they're making progress, because it's simply not true. And I mean, I've stand on the Rio Grande for hours just watching it happen. And, you know, the border is not closed, and it's open, and it's open for business.
Last month alone, 210,000 people crossed the border illegally. 40% of the migrants arriving in Laredo, Texas, are testing positive for the coronavirus. Doctors in COVID hot zones warn the worst is yet to come as the Delta variant sends the coronavirus infection rate soaring. Cases are up 400% from last month. This emergency room physician in Houston is worried.
If this continues, and I have no reason to believe that it will not, there is no way my hospital is going to be able to handle this.
15% of the newly infected are children who are not yet eligible for the vaccine. California's become the first state to require the vaccine for teachers, while Texas vows to sue any school that mandates kids wear masks. The Food and Drug Administration will approve a booster shot today for those with compromised immune systems. Peter King reports.
A source familiar with the plan says the FDA will amend the emergency use authorization for both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines for booster shots, a third dose for certain immune-compromised people who need the extra protection.
Dr. David Agus at USC.
People with autoimmune diseases on immune suppressive drugs, chemotherapy, etc., you're going to get a third shot booster now. Same one as your original, probably same dose as your original.
Today, two more federal agencies, HHS and the VA, both announcing that employees who work with patients must get the COVID shot. A Taliban takeover of Afghanistan seems imminent. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
We're focused on the security situation that we face now, which again we've acknowledged is deteriorating. We are certainly mindful of the advances that the Taliban have made.
As U.S. forces pull out, the terror group is gaining ground. They've taken over 10 provincial capitals, including one just 80 miles from Kabul.
What a sad, tragic ending after a couple of decades of U.S. forces being in the region.
Rebecca Hendricks with the Hudson Institute fears the Taliban will fill the void left by the departure of our fighting forces.
It was U.S. troops, even a small level, that was standing between loose order and complete chaos.
Officials warned the Afghan capital could fall under Taliban control in as soon as 90 days. From coast to coast, searing heat has settled in. Forecaster Lonnie Quinn.
D.C. feels like 112. St. Louis feels like 110. Now out west, Portland and Yakima will both set records at 104 degrees.
That is the actual air temperature, folks. For us, our real field conditions, when you factor in the humidity, will hover around 100 degrees today. For a third straight day.
It is hot, it is muggy, it is tropical. And when we get an environment like this, it's moisture loaded. So you can get 1, 2, 3 inches of rain very quickly.
Brett Thacker is a meteorologist with ABC 27 in central Pennsylvania, where the heat indices will top out at nearly 110 degrees today. Heat relief is coming tomorrow. If you build it, they will come. MLB's Field of Dreams game between the Yankees and White Sox happens tonight on the iconic baseball field featured in the 1989 movie Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa.
Hey, is this heaven?
No. Iowa.
This is the first MLB game ever played in Iowa, and ticket holder James Wilson says he can't wait to watch.
I loved it. It's just so nostalgic, and if you build it, they will come. Look at everybody here. We're coming.
Major League Baseball built an 8,000-seat ballpark around the Field of Dreams, which, for those who don't know, is actually in a cornfield. KCCI-TV's Eric Hansen.
It's taken a year and a half to build a pro-caliber field in a cornfield. But the grass is manicured, the foul lines are painted, and the outfield fence built so you can see the corn through it is ready. The scoreboard is manual, the dugouts look like they're made of barn boards.
And the teams are ready. First pitch set for 7 o'clock on Fox. Let's hope the weather cooperates. They're calling for rain tonight there in Dyersville, Iowa. Still to come on the Noon Report, Hochul says she's ready to lead, taking aim at mask mandates and the world's longest basketball game. It just wrapped up in Buffalo. First, let's take it outside. Quick peek of the forecast, Mr. Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon to all. We continue to reside in a pure tropical air mass, but changes are ahead. I'll have forecast details coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin, we will look for you then. Let's check the stories making news across New York and Pennsylvania. Broome County, New York, is considering declaring a state of emergency due to a spike in COVID cases. Broome joins two other counties in the southern tier, Shenango and Delaware, considered at high risk for transmitting the disease. In western New York, Monroe County has moved into the red zone. That's where you don't want to be. It is the only county in western New York right now to achieve such a COVID designation. High risk for COVID in the Rochester region. Two Pennsylvania Senate Republicans are taking aim at school mask mandates. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has the story.
Senators Doug Mastriano and Judy Ward say that they want to give parents the power to choose whether or not to mask their kids. The GOP lawmakers argue that's a decision that should not be left to school administrators or state leaders. Together, the pair has co-sponsored legislation to give families the final say, regardless of a school's masking policy. The bill would have to clear several hurdles and likely couldn't be taken up until the legislature returns in mid-September. The Department of Education has strongly suggested that schools follow the latest CDC guidelines when establishing their plans for the fall. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you for that. New York's second-in-command, Kathy Hochul, says she's ready to step up once Governor Cuomo steps down 12 days from now.
The promise I make to all New Yorkers, right here and right now, I will fight for you every single day, like I've always done. It always will.
The former Buffalo congresswoman says the one thing she knows about New Yorkers is
they are hardwired to persevere and to prevail.
Hochul says job number one for her once she's sworn in August 24th is to get as many New Yorkers as possible vaccinated. She tells NBC News that by the fall, masks will probably be mandatory in school again.
We need to find out what their anxiety is, why there's any objection to this. And I believe that this is going to have to be the way we go.
And in another major development, Hochul said today that she will run for governor next year after she finishes serving out out Andrew Cuomo's term. Governor Cuomo might still get a pension, even if he's impeached.
According to the Empire Center, they're estimating that the governor is entitled to at least a $50,000 pension benefit from the state. Now, with his resignation, Cuomo has accumulated enough service credit, which basically means years of work on the state payroll, to file for retirement and start collecting his pension. If he's impeached, nothing changes. Now, if he's convicted of a felony, the Empire Center says he might lose his pension.
Reporter Lindsay Smith at the New York State Capitol. An effort afoot in New York to rename a famous bridge because of the Cuomo scandal.
Rockland Republican Assemblyman Michael Lawler believes Andrew Cuomo has disgraced his family name. He wants the Mario Cuomo Bridge to revert to the old name. Tappan Zee.
The governor did this out of a vanity project. It was all ego driven, and it was all about getting the family name on the bridge.
The name Tappan Zee, a tribute to the Native Americans and early Dutch settlers, appears several times in Washington Irving's Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
That's Sean Adams reporting. Pennsylvania stands to get $11 billion from the infrastructure package passed in Congress this week. That is good news because the Commonwealth has some of the worst roads and bridges in the country, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers. A Steuben County, New York man has pled guilty to vehicular manslaughter and DWI charges for a 2019 snowmobiling crash that killed his wife. David Gee was driving the snowmobile with his wife on a road in Tuscarora when he pulled into the path of a vehicle. Both Gee and his wife were ejected. Neither were wearing helmets. A Pennsylvania pastor and his wife have been charged a second time with stealing money from their church in Northumberland County. Police say 66-year-old Gary Smith and his wife Cindy of Milton, PA, stole $13,000 from the Calvary Tabernacle in the Sunbury area. That's on top of the more than $8,000 they've already admitted to stealing. One of the unforeseen consequences of the COVID pandemic has been the impact it has had on children's eyesight. Kids forced to stare at screens all day in Zoom school. Nikki Batiste has more from Philadelphia.
Dealing with declining vision is not how 15-year-old Chase Schatzman imagined spending his summer.
They're spending too much time on screens. They're starting to get nearsighted.
But while learning online during the pandemic, he stared at a screen about 12 hours a day.
I get headaches, as well sometimes my vision gets a little blurry.
Dr. Cami Gunton, Chase's ophthalmologist at Wills Eye Hospital in Philadelphia, says eye issues in kids have spiked during the pandemic.
Their eyes are burning. They're having to rub their eyes.
Dr. Gunton led a new study of 10 to 17-year-olds doing virtual learning. More than half reported eye strain. She suggests parents ask their children how their eyes feel, take them outside, and try the 20-20-20 rule.
Every 20 minutes, you should take a 20-second break, looking at least 20 feet away.
Nikki Batiste, Philadelphia.
The two-minute drill next in sports with Sonny Delphiet.
Thank you, Bob. We start with baseball. In Flushing, the four-game losing streak is over.
And Drury bloops one. Base hit, and the Mets take the lead.
That gave the Mets an 8-7 lead and win over the Nationals. The Mets are one game out of first place in the National League East after the Phillies were pounded by the Dodgers again, this time 8-2 behind two Cody Bellinger home runs. Joe Girardi.
We've been through this a lot this season. You know, again, that we need to play well, and that's the bottom line, and that's what I'll look at, and we'll continue to try to win every game.
The Phillies lead the East by one in Atlanta.
Swing and a drive, deep right field, Ozzie Albies into the chop house.
That walk-off three-run homer gave Atlanta an 8-6 win. Atlanta one game back in the National League East. Elsewhere, Adam Wainwright threw a complete game shutout on just 88 pitches. The Cardinals beat the Pirates 4-0 in Pittsburgh. In the American League, the Yankees score three in the first. They never look back, beating the Royals 5-2 in Kansas City. Aaron Boone.
You know, moving in the right direction, you know, add on some guys that are big pieces, and, you know, let's get it rolling.
The Yanks are six out of the East lead, two out of the wild card. Right behind them, the Toronto Blue Jays, who crushed the Angels 10-2 behind two George Springer home runs and a grand slam from Teoscar Hernandez. The Jays are 2.5 out of the American League wild card. Cleveland loses to Oakland 6-3. Miguel Cabrera came one step closer to a career milestone.
1-2.
driven to deep left field. Back goes Hayes. Still going back. He leaps. It's gone!
That's his 499th career homer in the Tigers' 5-2 win over the Orioles in Baltimore. Football tonight. The Eagles host the Steelers. Jalen Hurts on the difference between practice and a preseason game.
I mean, regardless, I have a blue jersey, red jersey on, whatever. Go out there, try to execute my job and the fundamentals of the offense and go score points.
Tomorrow, the Bills travel to Detroit. Saturday, the Browns travel to Jacksonville. The Jets and Giants battle at the Meadowlands. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
All right, Sonny, thank you very much for that. Much more ahead on today's Noon Report, a Thursday edition. Mayorkas at the border, the Taliban taking over, and why the church needs to avoid woke Christianity.
Among the real heroes of this year's Olympic Games are the women who refused to choose between the lives of their children and furthering their athletic careers. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Typically, faithful watchers experience a bit of a letdown after the Olympic Games are over. This year, however, viewership was in such a free fall, there might not have been enough enthusiasm in the first place for there to even be a letdown. Many people just seemed to be tired of just how politicized these games were, even from the very beginning. Still, there was one protest, a quiet one, that demands our respect. Mom athletes earned attention at this year's Olympics, not through social media statements or corporate endorsements, but by winning the gold, even while standing up for life. This Olympic storyline is not only truly heroic, it's countercultural in women's sports. Back in 2008, gold medal favorite Sonia Richards-Ross boarded a plane for the Beijing Olympic Games after visiting an abortion clinic. Because her husband was tied up in practice with the New York Giants, she terminated her pregnancy alone. She came back with the bronze medal, but she would later write this, "I made a decision that broke me." In fact, Richards-Ross claims that every female athlete she knows has had an abortion. In fact, the U.S. Olympic track team had to replace a star runner in the 200-meter hurdles this year after she was slapped with a 5-year ban on competition. The reason was that she failed to follow anti-doping procedures and testing back in July. Brianna McNeil missed out on the 2021 games because, and here's how she put it, she was traumatized after having an abortion. She's now speaking out against the pressure that female athletes face to choose their career over being a mom. But I hope and pray that a truly historic performance in the 2021 Olympic Games might change all of this. Allyson Felix is now the most decorated track star in U.S. history. Tokyo was her 5th and final Olympic Games, and she's leaving there with 2 more Olympic medals to put on her mantle. Perhaps they'll be displayed beside a picture of her now 2-year-old daughter, whom she courageously carried and gave birth to, despite the pressure she faced to have an abortion. It was a decision that almost cost Felix even more than Olympic gold. It nearly cost her life. Felix had already won 6 gold medals and 3 silvers before becoming pregnant back in 2018. Her Christian faith compelled her to choose life, even after she found out that the pregnancy was high risk. At 32 weeks, Felix underwent an emergency C-section. And throughout the pregnancy, Felix had faced incredible pressure by her corporate sponsor. After she opted to keep her baby, Nike pushed a new deal that included a 70% pay cut to her previous contract with no maternity exceptions. The sports brand wagered that Felix's performance would falter as soon as she was bouncing back and forth from competing to pregnancy to juggling the realities of being a mom. Well, Felix has spoken out, calling out this double standard that exists in women's athletics when it comes to moms. And today, after Felix not only spoke out, but then proved them wrong in the Olympics, Nike has restructured just how they work with moms. And Felix is also refocusing her attention on a new endeavor called the Power of She Fund. The new organization is designed to support mom athletes in practical ways. The Power of She Fund will provide childcare for moms who compete at high levels and offer the kind of support and encouragement that parents need. At least 9 athletes who competed in Tokyo participated in this program this past year. Hopefully, the important work of Allyson Felix will undo the abortion-minded atmosphere that currently surrounds women's athletics. That would be even more valuable than a gold medal. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 past the hour. Heat relief is on the way. Kevin Williams next with your forecast.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Hot and humid. Intervals of clouds, hazy sunshine, thunderstorms in the area. Some will produce downpours and gusty winds and some hail in places. High temperatures, 80s and low 90s. Dropping in the 70s and upper 60s tonight. Tomorrow, variably cloudy. A couple more showers and thunder showers. High temperatures, mainly 80s. And then noticeably cooler and less humid Saturday. Morning clouds, a sprinkle or drizzle on spots, then sunshine for the high temperature in the 70s. Sunday looks sunny and pleasant with highs mainly in the 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Here's what's happening this Thursday afternoon, the 12th of August. New York Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul separating herself from embattled Governor Andrew Cuomo as she prepares to take over in 2 weeks.
Kathy Hochul says there's a strong legacy of accomplishments of the Cuomo administration, but she made it clear she's not part of what the state attorney general described as a toxic work environment.
The governor and I have not been close, physically or otherwise, in terms of much time.
Hochul says people named doing anything unethical in the state attorney general report will not stick around for her administration. Hochul takes over for Cuomo as New York's first female governor on August 24th. Cuomo's resigning following sexual harassment allegations. Scott Pringle, New York.
Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas paying a visit to the southern border today. Former ICE official Tom Homan says the Biden administration has dropped the ball at the border.
They haven't taken one step to slow the flow. Everything they have done is to process aliens quicker and release them into our communities quicker. That's the only success they've had, which isn't a success. That's just going to entice more people to come here illegally.
The worsening border crisis is weighing heavily on President Biden's approval numbers. A new Fox News poll shows 57% of Americans disapprove of the job he has done at the border. Seems like everything is costing more these days, from cars to groceries, gasoline to fast food. Sticker shock is setting in for many Americans.
What you've got now is 5% inflation, wages rising at 4%. You know what that means? You're not as well off as you thought you were.
Stuart Varney with the Fox Business Channel.
Inflation is getting rid of, wiping out, the wage gains.
A recent Fox News poll shows 59% of registered Democrats in this country support socialism. 59%. Just 49% support capitalism. Vivek Ramaswamy is author of the book Woke Inc.
We have a new anti-capitalism culture in this country, but that is just a symptom of our deeper culture of anti-excellence in this country.
He says big business, oddly enough, has become one of the biggest critics of capitalism.
Right now, big business sees the Democratic Party, the party that's in power, going against capitalism. They think they can avoid the ire by criticizing capitalism. Instead, it creates this downward spiral where we lose the very mechanism that allowed us to create wealth as a country in the first place, that brings not just the top down, but everyone down along with it.
A recent Gallup poll finds fewer than half of all America's young people have a favorable view of capitalism. Hunter Biden says Russian drug dealers stole his laptop during an 18-day bender in Las Vegas back in 2018. According to Britain's Daily Mail, this was one of three laptops that Hunter Biden lost, each of them containing sensitive information about his father, the president. The FDA expected to approve today a COVID booster shot for the immunocompromised.
The important thing to point out is the differences between the immune compromised, who really never really got a good response to begin with. So for them, it's more of getting them up to what they hopefully had gotten the first time around. But we know because of their immune compromise, they don't. That's different than the durability of response.
Pandemic point man Anthony Fauci, the FDA plans to amend the emergency use authorization for both the Pfizer and Moderna shots. This would pave the way for a third dose for people with compromised immune systems. New poll shows more than half of all Californians support recalling their embattled governor, Gavin Newsom. That recall election is set for Tuesday, September 14th. The head of Texas Family Services says gender reassignment surgery is a form of child abuse, and she will not condone it. The public official also opposing the use of hormone blockers on minors there in Texas. And the pandemic apparently has emptied a lot of our church pews.
Church attendance has been sharply depressed by the coronavirus, and Dr. Richard Land
is not surprised.
One of the things the pandemic did was it accelerated all trends in the wrong direction. It was gave a rocket boost. Things that were moving in that direction have now been given a rocket boost in that direction.
And the president emeritus of Southern Evangelical Seminary says the timing could not be worse.
America has never more needed the church to be the salt and the light that God has called us to be.
He's urging Christians to return to in-person worship, if at all possible.
Rich Thomas in reporting. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report.
Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Owen Strand, professor at Grace Bible Theological Seminary. Today, we're continuing our discussion stemming from the concept of wokeness. Owen, is it biblical to simply view critical race theory as an analytical tool we can use to better understand the world?
Critical race theory is not a tool of analysis in any positive sense. Critical race theory is a tool of division. It racializes the world. It racializes church life. And as I argue in the book, it reads society and Christian culture in a Marxist way. It fundamentally classes all of us as either a racial oppressor if we're white, or a racial oppressed person if we're a person of color. And that's not a sound way to look at the world today. If you're a person of color today, yeah, you could be in a bad situation. Someone could be taking advantage of you. But it's not the case that in a structural Marxist sense, you are an oppressed person by virtue of your skin color. So we need to be very clear that critical race theory is not a boogeyman that the far right has dreamed up. Critical race theory teaches divisive ideology. It teaches you that your identity is based in your skin color, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, it's a long way from what Martin Luther King Jr. talked about, people being judged on the content of their character versus the color of their skin. Oh, and Bible verses about the church repeatedly call for unity. Is it possible to be effective as the church, the body of Christ, when ideas like CRT prevail inside the church?
It's not. This is a kill or be killed situation in terms of these competing worldviews. Fundamentally, we cannot merge the Christian faith with a neo-Marxist system. We're being told that we can. We're being told as Christians that we need to embrace socialist categories as Christians, and we need to make room for the insights of secular sociology. But it's not true. It's a lie. And any pulpit that turns from preaching the Word of God to preaching secular sociology is a corrupted pulpit. And the people are not going to be sound Christians as a result of such preaching. You're going to turn out half Christian, half world people, which, of course, as we know, means being of a divided mind, which Christ talks about. And that means ultimately there's not going to be any real Christianity at all. So the stakes are very high here. It is either Christianity or it is wokeness. And everybody needs to choose very carefully.
When you think about the division that this would create in the church, it seems to me like it would be a win for Satan, because dividing up the church and pitting the church body, the church family, against one another, it takes away its effectiveness. How can we find common ground, Owen, in a way that dignifies each person and yet keeps the mission of the church fully intact?
Yeah, well said. And I think we go to the cross, which is at the heart of the Christian gospel. And we recognize that there is neither Jew nor Gentile in the church, in Christ, through the blood of Christ. There's one new man, Ephesians 2:15. If we can recognize that as Christians, then we'll overcome what is called race essentialism. We'll overcome the idea that your skin color separates you from me if we have different skin colors. And instead, we'll understand that, okay, there may be injustice in the American past. People may try to separate themselves based on skin color, but fundamentally, all who are in Christ are one family. That's the unity that the world is seeking. The world is telling us we can find unity if we'll embrace critical race theory and wokeness, but that's a lie. We're only going to find division there. Look around at Black Lives Matter. Look at Antifa. Look at woke Christianity when it gets in a church and white people start hearing that they're a white supremacist and their little kids are going to grow up to be white supremacists as part of this order, this evil order. Is that creating unity? It's not creating any unity. Where you do find unity is in local churches that teach that all who are in Christ are one, and there's no reparations to be done. There is no everybody sitting around in a circle talking about how horrible their ancestors were. Instead, what we do is we're honest and we're humble about our own sin and past sin and the church's failings. But then much, much more, we recognize, wow, God has brought us together through the power of the gospel. This is glorious, and this is the way it's going to be for all eternity. So we're not dwelling and finding our identity in our divisiveness and our condemnation. We're finding it in Christ.
That's Grace Bible Theological Seminary Professor Owen Strand. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, Tracy, thank you very much. The name of the program, Faith Under Fire. It comes your way Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime. Find us at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The heat and humidity continue for yet another day, and in that heat and humidity, thunderstorms have been forming, keeping an eye on the sky. A cold front's arrival tomorrow, though, spells a refreshing change to cooler and less humid conditions for the weekend. For this afternoon, hot and humid. Intervals of clouds, hazy sunshine, thunderstorms in the area. Some will produce downpours and gusty winds and some hail. In places, high temperatures, 80s and low 90s, dropping into the 70s and upper 60s tonight. Tomorrow, variably cloudy, a couple more showers and thundershowers, high temperatures mainly 80s. And then noticeably cooler and less humid Saturday. Morning clouds, a sprinkle or drizzle on spots, then sunshine with a high temperature in the 70s. Sunday looks sunny and pleasant with highs mainly in the 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. And finally at noon today, the world's longest basketball game has just concluded in Buffalo, New York. 23 players spent 24 hours a day for 5 days doing nothing but playing hoops.
The resilience of the players, they are awesome. Their spirit is unbelievable. They're walking over a marathon a day, and they're burning about 4,000 calories a day as well. So they are just so strong. I'm so proud of them, and it's been wonderful to see what they can do.
That is Ariana Ravalis, who helped organize the charity basketball game. The impressive feat took place at Buffalo's Narden Academy. Michael Emprick is a judge with Guinness World Records.
They filmed everything from multiple cameras, and they've kept detailed logbooks, keeping track of everything. So when I arrive on site, I basically spend the whole day going through those videos, logbooks, witness statements to make sure all the guidelines have been followed. They were, and then I got to watch the last several hours of play.
Here's how it worked. Teams of three played in three-hour shifts. The athletes were not allowed to leave the gym. The game started last Friday night. It did not end until this past Wednesday night, last night. That's 120 hours, 7 minutes, and 1 second of nonstop basketball in Buffalo. How about that? And that's the world we live in. Thursday, the 12th of August. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.